Roethlisberger, the quarterback, was all hug it, chug it, football all night.
Hearts are pounding in Denver. Nobody but Terrell here. Davis into the end zone, rocking, standing up. Denver is in the lead. Denver's going to win it. Oh, baby, they're going to win this thing.
Probably the final play of the game. It is caught by Dyson. Can he get in? No, he cannot. And the Rams have won the Super Bowl.
There's one thing I want to say here tonight. It's only four words. This one's for John.
Welcome back to QBs Dropping Like Flies. Name change pending. This is your host, Brian Preece. You can find me on Twitter at bpreece24. That's at bpreece24. I'm joined by Tommy Jerome today.
Hey, it's Tommy. You can find me on Twitter at ruthless_lupe. That's RUTHLESS_lupe. That name change is pending. I'm going to change it here soon.
No, we have to leave that one. Fans will be disappointed.
I need something more respectable, Brian. No one's going to respect me. Ruthless_lupe.
It makes you sound like an aspiring rapper.
But I'm not an aspiring rapper. I'm an aspiring podcaster.
You don't need to throw those dreams away, Tommy. You've got a mic. You've got a newsroom. All we need is a camera, and you can scream it from a mountaintop.
Top of a mountain.
All right, so name of the episode today, QB's Dropping Like Flies. We're going to talk about some of the injuries and ineffectiveness across the quarterback landscape in the NFL, and then we'll discuss some of the games that happened yesterday in week four of the NFL season. So there's been a few teams that have lost their quarterbacks to injury, teams like the Jaguars and Steelers. And then there's been some other teams that just due to ineffectiveness have benched guys, and some teams found a diamond in the rough. Gardner Minshew may be one of those after watching him yesterday against the Broncos. We'll talk about that, but I'm still kind of bitter.
Hey, man, that pretty feet work. That's all I'm going to say. Oh, it was so pretty.
That footwork in the pocket was ridiculous. I was watching that play late in the third quarter where they scored a touchdown, and he avoided four sacks in the span of about 3 seconds and took, probably 15 steps bouncing around the pocket and then threw a touchdown pass.
Yeah, he proving himself.
Not having a good time.
Watch out, Nick Foles.
Terrible. Terrible stuff. And then, so as we're going through this, we're going to be looking at a few statistics for the quarterbacks playing, some of the quarterbacks that may not be playing anymore. One stat that we'll be talking about a lot is QBR, quarterback rating. And just as a reference point, typical average QBR, average quarterback in the league would have a QBR of 50. So anything below that's going to be below average. Anything above 50 is going to be above average. So through 3 weeks, over 30% of the league has already changed quarterbacks due to injury, ineffectiveness, or a combination of the two. So it's been pretty incredible. That started in the preseason with the Colts and Andrew Luck retiring. That was kind of a surprise, right, Tommy?
Oh, yeah, we both were.
Yeah.
No one saw that coming.
No, not at all. I mean, he was dealing with some injuries, and we all knew about that. But him just up and retiring about, two and a half weeks before the season started was definitely a surprise. He was replaced by Jacoby Brissett. Brissett, so far in the year, has gone 90 of 138 for 911 yards, two interceptions, and for some reason, I don't have how many touchdowns he's thrown on here. I want to say he's thrown seven, but I can't remember off the top of my head, if you don't mind looking that up real quick, Tommy. And then he's had a QBR of 59. So the nice thing for the Colts is they've got a team set up in such a way that he hasn't been expected to carry the offense. Did you find that?
Yeah, so Jacoby Brissett has thrown 10 touchdowns.
Wow, 10. But much better than I thought. 10 in only four games. So he hasn't been expected to carry the team. They've got running back Marlon Mack, and they've got a good wide receiver core. T.Y. Hilton's been injured the last couple weeks, but it hasn't been all Jacoby Brissett. And he's been effective. He hasn't been turning the ball over very much. I mentioned those two interceptions. What stands out to me with this Colts team is anybody who's familiar with the Bill Simmons Ewing theory. This is the kind of team that's looking at that Ewing theory, where a player seemingly on paper is your best player, and they retire, they get traded, they get hurt, something like that, and the team either doesn't miss a beat or actually could be even better. And as we look at this Colts team, I don't know what your thoughts are, Tommy, but I think the Colts are a very good team. In spite of that loss to the Raiders yesterday, I could see the Colts pushing for the playoffs and being a tough out this season.
Yeah, especially, you know, Jacoby Brissett's finding a rhythm. Marlon Mack's running the ball. Defense is tough. Yeah, I can see them going deep into the playoffs too. They like you said, that Ewing theory really, you know, they're really showing people that, yeah, we don't have Andrew Luck, but, you know, we're still a hell of a team without him.
Yeah, I mean, and don't sleep on right guard or left guard Quentin Nelson, their first-round pick last year.
He is a beast.
Wow, the pancake master. He's such a horse out there. He might be a top-five player in the league.
He will make you defecate on yourself. I swear he hits you that hard.
That got dirty. That got dirty really fast. Okay, well, let's move on.
I didn't know a nice way to say the word. Poop. I say poop?
I'm glad you came up with defecate. I'm proud of you, Tom. You're really getting through that word a day calendar nicely. Move on to the Jaguars. The Jaguars beat the Broncos yesterday. Early in the first game of the year, Nick Foles, who signed a four-year, $88 million contract, was hurt in week one. Still no update on a return timeline for him. He was replaced by a sixth-round pick out of Washington State. If anybody knew this name before week one, then I'll give you a dollar. Gardner Minshew.
The second.
Gardner Minshew the second, which is not to be confused with any other Gardner Minshew because they don't exist.
They don't.
Gardner Minshew the second is the one and only.
Would have been Beowulf.
Yeah, it could have been. I heard that his grandpa wanted to name him Beowulf, right?
Yeah.
It's. I don't know. Either way, I think the mustache works.
It does. That it does.
Being a Broncos fan, I'm a little bit bitter about Gardner Minshew, but honestly, he was awesome yesterday. He really... In spite of that Broncos pass rush, which even in the second half as they were tiring, they were still causing problems getting into the backfield, but the way he could move in the pocket and just slide, you know, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, Muhammad Ali out there, no?
Oh, yeah, fair statement, but he just could not go down. I mean, there was a few times he did take a few bad hits, but he just has, really great pocket awareness.
Pocket presence,
yeah,
pocket awareness, absolutely.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
To think a six-round rookie's coming in and able to have the pocket presence that he has.
Mm-hmm. I was surprised to see it. Statistically, Minshew's 84 of 121 for 905 yards with 7 touchdowns and 1 interception. He does have a below-average QBR of 45.6, but frankly, the Jaguars wouldn't be 2-2 if Gardner Minshew wasn't playing. Like he's been fantastic, and like I said, there was another play we talked about, the one where he avoided 4 sacks and threw a touchdown pass. But there was another play where Bradley Chubb came around the edge and stripped the ball, and Minshew was able to pick it up off the turf,
bobble it,
gather and throw a completion while drawing a roughing the passer penalty from Von Miller. That was on the last drive. If that doesn't happen, the Broncos win that game. Like, that was a game changer.
Oh, yeah. And they're doing this, what they did, Fitzmagic apparently is a thing, and now what I'm seeing here on the NFL.com network is they're saying Minshew magic, and I hate it already.
No, that's terrible.
I hate
it at all.
It's just, ugh.
Be original. I mean, give him a nickname about his mustache. As much as I hated watching that game yesterday, they came back from a break, CBS did at one point, and they were playing some mustache song. I can't remember the words to it, but I was pissed off. I left the room in a huff at that point. No, you don't celebrate Gardner Minshew, not against my Broncos. So we move on to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Huckett Chuckett Roethlisberger, he suffered an elbow injury. He's already undergone surgery for that, and he's going to miss the rest of the season. So Mason Rudolph, I want to say he was a second or a third-round pick about 3 years ago out of Oklahoma State. He's gone 26 of 46 for 286 yards, 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions so far, and a robust QBR of 19.5.
Woof. Woof.
It's not good. The Steelers could be in for a rough year. But, you know, it's interesting looking at the Steelers' philosophy based on a couple roster moves that they've made. They traded for safety Minkah Fitzpatrick with the Dolphins. They gave up a first-round pick for Fitzpatrick. And when you lose your starting quarterback for the year and then you give up a first-round pick for a safety, you still believe your team has a chance to compete. So, I mean, you ask me, I don't think that's the case, but we'll know a little bit more tonight with the Steelers facing the Bengals. That'll be a game definitely worth tuning into, just because, if nothing else, these two teams have kind of a fun rivalry, so that'll be fun to watch. And then we move on to the New York Football Jets.
What? The New York?
I don't know. I just wanted to say something. Chris Berman's. I was wrong. I made a mistake.
Does he still have mono?
So, I mean, we'll talk about it really quick. Sam Darnold was diagnosed with mono after week one, and he's expected to, so the Jets have a bye this week. He is right now still expected to play next week. I haven't heard anything different about that. So if he doesn't play, the Jets are down to their third string option because Trevor Siemian took over for Sam Darnold and tore several ankle ligaments in his first start of the year, in the first quarter, I believe it was. So he's out for the year. He was replaced by the pride of Cache Valley, where I am from, Luke Falk. Did you know he was from Logan, Tommy?
I did not know
that. Yeah. The Wazoo product came out of Logan High. Luke Falk, it wasn't a good debut, to say the least. The game against the Patriots was a little bit rough. Falk is 32 of 47 so far in the year, 296 yards. Quarterback rating of 20.6. It's the third string quarterback and a rookie. You can't expect the guy to look good, especially against a Patriots defense that might be a generational defense.
Yeah. I mean, I have nothing to say because I agree completely with what you're saying. Carry on.
Yeah, I mean, you took the words right out of my mouth.
I'm lost. Like,
Let's go Jets. Moving on to the Dolphins. Tommy mentioned his favorite quarterback, Ryan Fitzmagic.
Fitzmagic is just, it's ran out.
He's not good. I remember last year Tommy picked him up on his fantasy team. I was like, that's wonderful, Tommy. Wait 2 weeks when he throws four picks and then tell me how that worked out.
Well, I was thinking about it. Brian talked me out of it, and you know what Brian said came true. He had four solid weeks. That fifth week, he self-destructed.
That's usually what Fitzmagic likes to do. So he was benched with the Dolphins, ineffective, 27 of 52, 303 yards, one touchdown, four interceptions with a QB rating of 18.8. Yeah, with those numbers, you deserve to get benched, even if it's for Josh Rosen, who's 43 of 84 for 482 yards, one touchdown and three interceptions, but he's doubled Fitzmagic's QBR at 39.9. Well, honestly, when we're looking at the Dolphins, I don't think it matters one way or the other. They're not trying to win. They're trying to tank. They want to get as high of a draft pick as possible, and they don't have any weapons. The ones that they did, they already traded. Laremy Tunsil, Kenny Stills.
I mean... People say that Kenyon Drake's their best offensive weapon, but he's on the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. Like, they can't get him going.
Yeah.
Like, even against the Chargers, who have, you know, as a Charger fan, they have one of the worst run defenses in football. And, I mean, they couldn't even get him going against the Chargers.
Yeah, it's not easy to be a Dolphins fan, that's for sure.
Hey, but there's still some in those seats. There's some passionate people.
I mean, it's Miami. You might as well go to a football game. The weather looks beautiful.
Hey, for $5 tickets, why not?
We'll touch on the Buffalo Bills really quick. Quarterback Josh Allen left the game after a helmet-to-helmet hit. I haven't seen any word on what exactly is going on. I'm guessing it's a concussion-related situation. He was replaced by Matt Barkley, who went 9 of 16 for 127 yards and one interception. I mean... Barkley may not have looked great, but they had some opportunities with Barkley in the game. That Patriots defense and their secondary made some tackles on the goal line, kept the Bills out of the end zone, and then forced some turnovers. So, I mean, that's just a tough ask for a backup quarterback to come in and face the Pats.
Yeah, and I think if Josh Allen stays in that game, I think that game goes into overtime, but I think the Patriots outgun them, honestly. I think that game goes into overtime.
Yeah.
With that being said, what I want to say about the Bills is if Josh Allen can figure out some type of accuracy and their offense can get going, the Bills, I think, can be a very dangerous team in my eyes because they have a solid defense.
The defense is really good.
You can hold the Patriots, who are just guns a-blazing on offense, just like the Chiefs. They're the second best offensive team next to the Chiefs, and you can put the Ravens up there after the Browns game, maybe not. But they figure out offense. I think they're a contender. I don't know. What do you think, Brian?
No, I've been surprised by the Bills, but that defense has looked really good. And like you said, you hold the Patriots to one offensive score in the game. That's impressive. That's good work. And then so we'll move on. Actually, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we return, we'll talk about the NFC and the quarterbacks that they have lost. And then we'll just touch on the games yesterday to wrap up.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Name Change Pending. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Name Change Pending and subscribe to get the newest episodes of the podcast and to check out photos of hosts Josh Keel, Tommy Girone, and Brian Priest as we travel the continent to do what we love, watch sports. Also, I know you've got a lot going on today, but if you could take 2 minutes out of your busy schedule to give the podcast a 5-star review on your podcatcher of choice, we would greatly appreciate it. Those algorithms can be tricky, and all I know is that 5-star ratings jump us up the lists. So thanks for tuning in, and now back to the show.
Okay, welcome back to Name Change Pending. We're talking about quarterback injuries and ineffectiveness around the NFL. I'm here, joined here by Tommy Girone, Ruthless Lupe himself. Pew, pew, pew,
pew. How's it going, everybody?
Hi, Tommy. Thanks for coming in today. How was the golf game this morning?
I'm not a golfer. I just go for the scenery.
And the beer.
That too.
Yeah.
I didn't know if I could say beer.
Oh, and it's a golf course. We should be able to say beer.
Yeah.
So congratulations on your early morning round. I'm jealous.
It was a good time. It was kind of cold, a little chilly.
Mm-hmm.
I was cutting diamonds out there, but I mean, my nipples were hard, Brian. I don't know if you got that reference.
So the Washington professional football team started the year with Case Keenum at quarterback.
Just say it.
I don't want to.
You're
I
not
going to
offend
say the
anybody.
I may not be offending anybody. I just don't want to support it. I think it should be changed. It is offensive, whether it offends somebody listening to the show or not, Tommy.
Okay.
All right. Calm down, Tiger, with your red shirt. Sheesh. So the Washington professional football team, Case Keenum, 92 for 135, 970 yards, 7 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, quarterback rating of 45.5. I mean, overall, not the worst numbers in the world, but as a Broncos fan, I went through the Case Keenum experience last year. I promise it didn't look promising, even with those numbers. Yeah. I guarantee it. He was replaced by the professional football team's first round pick, Dwayne Haskins out of Ohio State. Haskins went 9 for 17 for 170 yards. I mean, really, when you look at this team, they're not trying to win either. They're in a similar boat to the Dolphins. Haskins is the quarterback of the future. Was it the right time for this move, Tommy?
I don't know. Like you said, the Washington professional football team.
You could say it. I mean, if you want to take shots at the indigenous people of America, that's on you.
I'm not taking any anyways. If they don't want to win games, yeah, good move. You might as well let Dwayne Haskins get a few touches in the professional football league.
So let me ask you this. Was yesterday the right time to do it when they were facing the New York Giants, who were starting Danny Dimes and, kind of giving the Washington professional football team a dose of what they missed out on? Does that put too much pressure on Haskins, I guess is what I'm asking.
Maybe, depending on who Haskins is, or Haskins, or Hodgkins. I don't know.
Making fun of cancer.
No, I'm not. Anyways.
Oh, man.
Depending on the type of person that he is, it could have been, I don't know, I think you drafted a QB for a reason. If Keenum isn't working out, put him in there against the Giants, who, by all means, without Barkley, you'd think they wouldn't have an offense, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah. I'm a fan of bringing the young quarterback in to get some experience and take his lumps to a degree. But with this football team, the offensive line is so bad, I wonder if it's going to end up being a detriment to Haskins' development. I mean, you never know. I don't know what his mental game is like as far as being able to take those hits and stay involved in the game. But it could be tough with left tackle Trent Williams still holding out. After Melvin Gordon returned this weekend, he's the last holdout in the NFL. And I don't want to get into it too much. Why the hell don't the Broncos trade for him? They don't have a left tackle. Garrett Bowles is not a good football player.
I mean, he has strong hands. Definitely knows how to hold on to a jersey.
I'm going to refer to one of my favorite football films in history, The Waterboy, when the head coach of the, who is Louisiana?
I think it's Louisiana Tech.
It's not Louisiana Tech. I can't remember who it was. But
the Mud Dogs?
No, the other team.
It's going to bug me if I don't. I'm going to find out.
Tommy's going to look it up while I tell the story. But there, you know, fall practice and Lynn Swann's out on the field and guy's running his sprints and the coach just watches dude run his sprints and says, cut his ass. That's how I feel about Garrett Bowles. Did you find that yet, Tommy?
I'm looking right now. Give me a sec.
All right. So I'm going to move on. I'll start talking about the Saints. They're All-Pro quarterback Drew Brees suffered a thumb injury against the Rams in week two. Some people thought that could be a devastating injury for the Saints. He underwent surgery, is expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks. And based on what they were saying on the broadcast last night watching the Cowboys and Saints game, it looks like he's being pretty aggressive in his rehab, and I know he's a tough guy, so I wouldn't be surprised to see him back within the next 2 to 3 weeks. As far as his replacement, Teddy Bridgewater came in. It's his first significant NFL action since he tore his knee apart and almost had his leg amputated in Minnesota 3 years ago. So, I mean, one, great for Teddy Bridgewater. He's been 59 of 87 for 535 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, QBR of 24.2. Tommy's got the name.
It's the University of Louisiana Cougars.
Ah, the Cougars. Anybody named the Cougars I have a problem with because of BYU. But, like, watching that Saints team, I don't know what your thoughts on it, Tommy. Teddy Bridgewater doesn't look very good. I mean, they've beaten the Seahawks and the Cowboys with Bridgewater at the helm, but you're certainly not winning any beauty contests.
Yeah, and you can even see it on Drew Brees' face watching the game. Like, they cut to it, and it just looks like Brees is like, I should be out there. I need to be out there.
Yep.
What are they doing?
That late sack Bridgewater took on the last possession that gave the
almost cost
the
him
Saints
the game
out of field goal range. And, yeah, nearly cost them the game. They cut to Drew Brees on that one, and you could tell he was stuck. That rookie mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's got to be frustrating for Drew Brees. This is, if I remember right, I think this is the first time he's missed significant game action, because his last game with the Chargers, he tore his labrum in his shoulder, but then was rehabbed and back in time to start the next season with the Saints. Other than that, I don't think he's missed more than a game or two.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't think so either. I'm gonna take a look at that. Maybe I can find some, see how many.
Yeah, I mean, games. Poke around. See if you can find anything on that one. I'll move on to the Carolina Panthers. Cam Newton hurt himself. He suffered a Lisfranc injury in his foot. Right now, no timetable for his return. He was replaced by Kyle Allen, who so far in two games is 43 of 60 for 493 yards, 4 touchdowns, and no interceptions. Get a QBR of 68.9. Thing about Kyle Allen is he looked pretty good early last week, and then this week against the Texans, he struggled pretty badly. The Panthers ended up winning that game 16-10, but Kyle Allen didn't look very good. What really carried the Panthers in that one was their defensive depth. The defensive line with Kawan Short and a couple other guys, Luke Kuechly in the linebacker core, and then their secondary really slowed down Deshaun Watson. So the last team we're going to look at as far as quarterbacks go, and I got a fun little stat for you as well on this one, Tommy. But Eli Manning, longtime quarterback of the New York Giants, has finally been benched. It looks like his career is probably over. I think it was over 3 years ago. Nobody wanted to acknowledge it, though. Mm-hmm. He's 56 of 89 on the year for 556 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and a QBR of 30. Potential Hall of Fame quarterback has a QBR of 30 this year. It's tough to see, but it is what it is. Sometimes you just lose it. His brother Peyton went through something similar, but Peyton realized it the year it happened and got out the game real quick. But Eli was replaced by Danny Dimes, our favorite quarterback of the 2019 NFL draft. I remember predicting great things for Danny Dimes. I never said a negative word about him. Don't you say anything different, Tommy.
I don't know who he is. I didn't really, even when they drafted him, I'm like, who?
I thought it was a joke. There was no reason they should have drafted him at six as far as I was concerned, but he's looked good in two games, 49 of 71, 578 yards, three touchdowns, two interceptions, has a QBR of 82.4, and that decreased after his second game. He was up above 90 in his first game. He looked really good. They're 2-0 with Danny Dimes at the helm. And, you know, like I said, Eli's just been a corpse on the field for 3 years. Danny Dimes comes in and replaces him, and then what's the first thing that happens? Saquon Barkley gets hurt. All-world running back Saquon Barkley rolls his ankle. You think the season is over and the sky's falling for the Giants. Little did we know Danny Dimes is the second coming.
Yeah, I mean, might be the quarterback of the future. Well, is going to be the quarterback of the future for the Giants. Hopefully they can figure out and build around him if they're going to go with him.
All I could say is everybody who was laughing at Dave Gettleman when they drafted Danny Dimes is eating their words right now. We'll see how it goes. It's only two games, but
I think they're still laughing.
Possibly.
Honestly.
Yeah. Fun little stat, though, I saw after that first game with Danny Dimes. The Giants were trailing by, I can't remember exactly what the score was, but this stat is Eli Manning is 0 for 44 in his career after trailing by 18 or more points. Danny Dimes came in his first start of his career and was trailing by more than 18 points and brought the Giants back for a win. So Danny Dimes 1-0 in the same trailing by 18 situation. Eli Manning 0-44. I mean, if that's not a reason to start pitching Danny Dimes for the Hall of Fame, I don't know what is.
Fair. So I want to just go back and touch base on the Saints and Drew Brees' consistency.
Mm.
So I looked it up, and since joining the Saints in 06, he's missed a total of 3 games up into this season. So
any consecutively?
No. So the only gap is he went total of 16 games from 06 to 09, where he missed a game in 09. Then went from 2010 all the way up into 2015, where he missed a game in 2015.
That's incredible.
And then 2 full seasons after that, total 16 games, and then last year missed a game.
That's just wild. I can't believe a guy can stay healthy that long. Okay, well, that does it for the quarterbacks. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back, touch on a few of the games from yesterday afternoon. Thank you for joining us on Name Change Pending.
We appreciate you joining us on Name Change Pending today. Make sure and jump on Twitter. Follow your hosts, Brian Priest at BPriest24, Tommy Girone at Ruthless_Lupe, and Josh Keel at Rise and Shout. Also, we know that you're busy, but if you could take 2 minutes out of your day and give us a 5-star rating on your podcatcher of choice, that would be so amazing. Help us move up those algorithms. I don't totally understand how they work, but I know with some 5-star ratings, the podcast shows up higher on the lists. And we want to help other people find the show, don't we? Doesn't really matter what you say for us. Maybe suggest some new verses for Ruthless Lupe. But thanks again for joining us, and stay tuned for more episodes of Name Change Pending.
All right, welcome back to Name Change Pending. This is your host, Brian Priest. I'm joined by Tommy Girone today, Ruthless Lupe.
How's it going? It's Ruthless Lupe. Find me on Twitter at @RUTHLESS_LUPE.
You can't change that name, Tommy. It's a brand now. So you're going to have to keep it. Ruthless Lupe forever. Forever. Forever.
Forever.
I love The Sandlot. What a great film. Let's look at a few of these games. Tommy and I had a couple TVs up yesterday, and Tommy's checking fantasy scores. So let's just talk about what we saw. We touched on the Patriots and Bills game a little bit. Patriots win 16-10. This was a defensive battle. I mean, from the very beginning, the Patriots took an early 10-0 lead with a field goal from Steven Gostkowski, and then a punt block returned for a touchdown in which Gostkowski missed the extra point. So it wasn't exactly a perfect day for the Patriots, and then they scored one offensive touchdown. The Bills, good defensively, but I mean, you watched that a little bit. What did you think of Josh Allen against that Patriots pass rush?
Looked like a lost puppy.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. It looked like he still had the training wheels on his bike and was getting chased by rabid dogs, and he was trying to get away, but no. It just got him.
He didn't look like a second-year quarterback. He didn't look like he could make checkdowns. He looked, like Tommy said, he looked like a lost puppy. So that's going to be something interesting to follow. He also left the game with what appeared to be a concussion. So, you know, Bills fans will want to keep an eye on that. Next, we'll talk about the Chiefs and Lions. The Lions, for me, are one of the biggest surprises of the NFL. I didn't expect them to be any good. I haven't trusted Matt Patricia as a head coach. Matthew Stafford is your classic good enough quarterback, but not great. Like, you always feel like you have a chance if Matt Stafford is your quarterback until he starts playing. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's right. We're going to go 8-8.
That game is the first game, I think, this year. Well, obviously the first game this year that Mahomes didn't throw a touchdown pass. Didn't have one touchdown pass.
My Mahomie? No, yeah. Touchdown passes?
No touchdown passes for your Mahomie.
What about...
threw for 315 yards, but still no touchdowns or interceptions. So good on him for no interceptions.
Yeah, I mean, you keep a hold of the ball. The surprising thing about the Chiefs is it seems like more and more guys go down with injury, and they've got replacements left and right. Damian Williams didn't play for the second week in a row, and LeSean McCoy and Daryl Williams came out. McCoy scored one rushing touchdown. Daryl Williams had two rushing touchdowns. Looking at the wide receiving core for the Chiefs, one of my favorite players in the league, Byron Pringle. And the thing about Byron Pringle is once you pop, you can't stop. No? Tommy, I'm spitting humor gold here, and you're just throwing me under the bus.
It's like dad gold. It's like dad humor. It's cringy.
I'm a dog dad.
Okay, anyways.
Does that count?
So I think what really costs the Chiefs, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but I
no.
I do not stand for the puns right now. So I think what really killed them, and you saw this too, is just the fumbles. There were so many.
They had five fumbles in the third quarter. Five fumbles lost.
I don't think they won a fumble. I think they lost literally all their turnovers, and that's what kept Detroit in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest, I don't even think Detroit kept a good handle on the ball either. I think both teams had a lot of turnovers.
Yeah, this was a mistake-marred game, but the Chiefs really, in the end, they showed how talented of a team they are, that they could play one of their worst games of the last two seasons and still come out with a win on the road. It's impressive. You as a Chargers fan, you've seen the Lions twice now, watching that Chiefs game, and you saw them against the Chargers. They're surprising, aren't they?
I have this theory about the Lions. They're good to compete, but they're gonna do something down the road this season to where they're just gonna play out of contention. They do this every year. Everyone talks about the Lions. Oh, the Lions are a dark horse. They're going to come up. They're going to make some noise. And then they just fizzle out.
Yeah. I mean, and you're not wrong. That's a fair assessment. I don't know. I feel like watching this defense, it's something different. The defense is better.
They tied. Like, it. The fact that tying in the NFL is a thing.
Yeah, ties in the NFL suck. That shouldn't happen. All right, Tommy, tell us about Chargers-Dolphins.
We got the dub.
Give you 3 minutes.
Okay, time me. All right, so what I saw at this, for one, injuries. We'll just start it right off the bat. Chargers can't stay healthy. I mean, a bunch of inactives to go into the game. Justin Jackson was out. Mike Williams was out. Melvin Ingram got hurt. We finally got Melvin Gordon back, but we didn't play him. Really don't need to. I think, and what I'm running into with that too is a bunch of people are saying, oh, now that Melvin Gordon's back, this team's going to be scary. No, we're not, because that's not where our problem is. Like, we're not missing this big entity with him gone. Like, we solved that problem. We have Austin Eckler. We had Justin Jackson. Even Pope put up numbers for us yesterday. Like, he did that second back job.
Do you know his first name?
I want to say Terrence.
I'm going to look it up while you're talking.
But, I mean,
at 1 minute.
That's just not our problem. Our problem is staying healthy.
Troymaine.
Oh, Troymaine. I was close.
Troymaine.
Lomaine.
Yeah. Oh, Lomaine.
Oh, I'm so hungry right now.
Want to go get some lunch?
Oh, no. That's my train of thought. No, where our problem is, for one, our defense, there are so many holes in our defense. Our best defensive player is out. I mean, he hurt his toe, I think. It's his toe or his foot. He's going to be out, you know, maybe if we make the playoffs, we'll see him. I don't see them really rushing him back.
You're talking about Derwin?
Yeah, I'm talking about Derwin James. Sorry.
Liz Franck, he still looks like he should be back around November.
Who knows? He should, but...
It's a long time to miss games.
And on top of that, like, we can't... I mean, we're doing better against the run, but we still cannot... We still cannot defend it properly. Like, we get a decent running back with a decent offensive line, we're in trouble. We don't have a pass rush. Our pass rush is not, like, we got to Rosen. We got to Rosen a few times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we got 5 sacks, an interception. But our problem is we can't get a pass rush if we don't have Bosa and Ingram on the field.
30 seconds.
We don't have protection up the middle. We don't have a decent defensive tackle. No offense to Mockbang. But we just don't have that. And that's why, like, what really grinds my gears is people saying, oh, Gordon Hayward's back. Or not Gordon Hayward. What the hell? Holy hell.
That's the wrong sport. That's the wrong side of the country.
Melvin. Melvin Gordon.
A lot of things wrong with that.
Melvin Gordon's back and Chargers are saved. No, we're not. We just have a guy who just wants a year to count towards his contract, so by the end of the day, you know, he can go play for another team in free agency.
And Tommy says all that after the Chargers win by 20, 30-10 over the Miami Dolphins.
They played the Dolphins.
They won by 20, and you're acting like the world is ending.
No, I'm not acting like the world is ending. Like, a solid win. Perfect. Good win. Not an interception thrown by Rivers. Proud of him. But we can't stay healthy. That is a positive. I should look at the positive. We got a dub. We're 2-2. We stopped losing.
Usually winning's a positive.
Yeah. But I'm focused on we played the Broncos. Well, I'm not really worried about that next week either. But, like,
hey, that's a legitimate football team on the other side of the field.
Yeah, fair. They're all professionals. But, I mean, like I said, I'm not excited. Like, if we tank, we're going to need a quarterback after this year. I think Phil's done after this year. People are asking me, how long do you think Phil has? I think this is his last year of being consistently good.
Does that mean you love Easton Stick?
I mean, I don't know. I think we're going to go. I think this is my theory, and, you know, hold me to it, but the Chargers are going to do decent, maybe make the playoffs this year. Next year, Rivers is still going to try and play. God awful. I don't know. Maybe we're in the hunt for Trevor Lawrence. I don't know.
Philip Rivers goes the way of Eli Manning, maybe?
I think even worse.
Ooh.
Because we don't have an offensive line either.
That's kind of rough. All right, I'm going to hit a couple games quick because we didn't have a chance to watch them. The Browns beat the Ravens 40-25. Nick Chubb scored 3 touchdowns rushing. He had, Nick Chubb, 3 rushing touchdowns, like I said, 20 carries, 165 yards. He did what I've kind of been expecting him to do this year. Baker Mayfield looked good, 20 of 30 for 342 yards, had 1 touchdown passing. Jarvis Landry looked really good, 167 yards receiving before he left the game with concussion-related symptoms. The Buccaneers and Rams put on a slugfest. I don't know that it was a good game, but it was certainly a slugfest. Jared Goff had some of the most pedestrian 517 yards you'll ever see in your life. Buccaneers come out on top 55-40. And if I'm a Rams fan, if I'm in the Rams franchise, I'm thinking twice about that contract they gave Jared Goff.
Yeah. And I'm even just to touch on this game, like, Goff's all right. We'll see. Maybe he's just needs to shake off something, or maybe something's going on. We don't know. Maybe his head's not completely in the game right now. Mm-hmm. But what I drew from this game, do you remember that pick six that Marcus Peters had?
Oh. If you saw that play, Ooh, tell him about it, Tommy.
Okay, so we're watching. I think we were just watching it on the red zone, too. We weren't even, like, watching the game itself. Marcus Peters picks off the ball, makes a few moves, starts running up the sideline. Clearly, I'm like, oh, he's going to take this all the way. Gets kind of stopped, slowed down at the goal line, trying to inch his way to score. And then you just see this offensive either guard or tackle or offensive lineman just come and annihilate him.
I want to say it was number 71.
And yeah, and it was clearly, it would look, it was helmet to helmet.
It was helmet to helmet. The guy left his feet.
Yeah, and
I mean, it based on the rules, to me, it looked illegal.
Yeah, and they didn't,
I don't know that it should be, but it looked like a penalty.
And you just see Marcus Peters' head does that little wobble when you see someone get knocked out in like UFC or boxing. Like he did that wobble, and then he just falls straight into the end zone. And then you just see everyone kind of surround him.
He got mobbed, unconscious.
And I think what happened is he got mobbed by his teammates, and then they eventually woke him up with the mobbing. And then he was all, because even when he got up from the play, he wasn't who, like, if you know Marcus Peters is very animated. He's a character.
Boisterous.
Yeah. He's a character. I mean, even when he got up after scoring the pick six, the best thing he could do was do a fist bump on his chest and wave to the crowd. I think his bell was rung.
Yeah. I mean, like you were saying, watching the game, he got slept. I don't think there's any doubt about it. But it was an awesome play. Gave the Rams a chance. And then Jameis Winston came out, did his thing. He threw for over 300 yards, I believe, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. 385. I mean, that might be the worst thing for the Buccaneers, that they're going to end up having to pay Jameis Winston if he keeps playing like this, because I still don't trust him. We look at the Seahawks and Cardinals. Seahawks won 27-10. There's no reason to talk about the Cardinals. They're not good, and Kyler Murray refuses to get hit, which is good and bad. You know, sometimes you want him to fight for that extra yard, but it's also nice to have him healthy if you're a Cardinals fan. The Vikings looked awful in losing to the Bears 16-6. That offense couldn't do anything. If they want Kirk Cousins to pass the ball, they can't move it.
Yeah, Trubisky left that game too with the concussion. Chase Daniels kind of came in.
Yeah, that was an injury I forgot to mention. Trubisky, I saw today, it's his non-throwing shoulder, left shoulder, shoulder separation, and partial labrum tear. They don't have a timetable, but he's expected to return. The quote was, sooner rather than later. I don't know what the hell that means. But They might be better with Chase Daniel at quarterback. They didn't look good, but at least, I don't know. I don't know. That Bears quarterback situation.
But that defense looks damn good.
That Bears defense is scary.
Khalil Mack is just a beast of a human being.
I'm glad the Broncos already have the Bears out of the way. Jaguars-Broncos game. It's a frustrating game as a Broncos fan, but really overall, it was a fun football game.
Oh, yeah.
Broncos had their best performance of the year.
Finally got their first sacks.
We got 5 sacks on today. They had a couple offensive scores, and they made some really nice adjustments. If you, I don't want to go too in-depth on this game, but if you do want to hear about it, I released a podcast on the Name Change Pending platform earlier this morning about it.
So you also mentioned that you were saying that Flacco needed to not stay in the pocket so long, and he did that this game, but then you also saw the later in the game he went back to that habit.
He reverted back to that habit. Well, you know, what I think happened, again, I don't want to go too in-depth on this, but as I looked at the numbers this morning, they only ran the ball 4 times in the second half. And a lot of times you would say that, you know, maybe they were trailing or whatever. The Broncos had the lead for a majority of the second half and only ran the ball 4 times. Their defense was on the field for over 24 minutes of the second half, and they just got gassed. That's why they lost the game, because the offense couldn't hold on to the ball long enough to give the defense some rest, and the defense couldn't get stops and make tackles. So Broncos lose 26-24 on a game-ending field goal.
Well, also a career game for Leonard Fournette, too.
Oh.
29 carries, 225 yards. No scores, but still, I think that's and sorry, Brian, but that's what won Jacksonville the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like he would get met at the line and then would break 4 tackles and finally get brought down.
He'd get met at the line sometimes, but about half of his carries, he was in the secondary at the second and third level before he ever got touched. But there was 2 or 3 missed tackles on every carry, it seemed like. It's frustrating. The night game yesterday, Cowboys versus Saints in the Superdome. That was
Okay, I want to say something real quick. Sorry, Brian.
Okay.
But for all you Cowboy fans that are saying, well, the Saints didn't even score a touchdown, you guys scored one touchdown and still couldn't get the job done. So you guys need to shut your mouths and take the L. Don't give me these lame excuses that the Saints didn't score a touchdown. You're right, they didn't. But you only scored one and a field goal. The Saints got four field goals and beat you guys.
In summary, scoreboard.
Yeah, scoreboard. I want to curse so bad, but it
because she had Tommy on video right now because he's animated.
Because the Cowboy fans are ridiculous. They're just as bad as the Raider fans. No offense to them, like, but they're delusional. I swear. Like that's all I can say is stop, take the L, take it on the chin, and go on to next week.
Yeah, just move on. I agree. So Saints win 12-10. It wasn't a great game by any means for either team, but the Saints did enough to win. I've been impressed with that Saints defense. Marcus Davenport, people talked about him being a reach as a first-round pick last year when the Saints traded up for him. He looked awesome yesterday, getting around the left tackle. Tyron Smith got hurt on the last drive of the game, and Davenport wreaked havoc on that last drive, getting to Dak Prescott and just preventing the Cowboys from being able to put together a drive. And, yeah, the Cowboys just, in the end, you lost. Whether you didn't allow a touchdown or not, you still lost the game. So if your offense can't, it's like the Broncos. They can't score. I'm not taking a moral victory in the fact that, you know, we didn't allow a touchdown. I don't care.
And I'll give the Cowboys their due. Their defense looked good. I'll give them that. Their defense looked decent. I mean, granted, you were playing against Teddy Bridgewater, but, I mean, just because Teddy Bridgewater is the quarterback doesn't mean that offensive line's changed. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, Robert Quinn was just making whatever tackle he was on just look silly.
Looked good.
With the same move over and over. They did this highlight reel of Quinn, and he was just ripping the same move when he was ripping. And then when finally they tried to play the rip, he did another move. So Quinn is definitely, I mean, he did his job.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I hate it as much in my soul. I hate it, but I will give that Cowboys defense some credit. They came to play.
Oh, I was watching those linebackers. That's the first Cowboys game I've seen this year. And Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch are legit.
Mm-hmm.
You face off against those guys, and you know you're going to have trouble. Jalen Smith, for a guy who was a projected high first-round pick, suffered a just devastating knee injury in his final Notre Dame bowl game and, you know, fell into, I believe he got picked in the second round by the Cowboys. They traded up for him, and he's recovered from that knee injury, and he looks fantastic. The way he can move side to side, he makes tackles, he diagnoses plays. Yeah, I hate giving the Cowboys credit, but Jalen Smith looks really, really good. So the last game of the week is going to be Bengals-Steelers tonight. That game is being played in Pittsburgh with Mason Rudolph starting for the Steelers, Andy Dalton, the Red Rocket starting for the Bengals. And you know, one injury update I saw just come across the wire. I mentioned Tyron Smith with the ankle injury. The Cowboys are reporting that it's a high ankle sprain, but it doesn't appear as severe as it looked on TV. They're not sure if he's going to be playing this week against the Packers, but they don't expect him to miss very much time, if any.
So the line on this game is 3.5. So they don't. So it's going to be a close game, is what people are saying.
Yeah, I mean, 3.5. That's basically a pick 'em. If Pittsburgh's the home team, usually gets 3 points. So
Did you say it's at Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's going to wrap it up for Name Change Pending. Tommy, do you want to send us off today?
What would I say?
I don't know, Tommy.
Look here, Cowboy fans. I hate it because you have some amazing athletes on that team. Now, if you can name past Cowboy players and you don't like the Cowboys because you guys think the star is pretty or because Ezekiel Elliott looks good in a crop top, you guys are what's wrong with football. I'm sorry. But for those Cowboy fans who love the game, who know the game, I appreciate you, and I don't hate you, but I hate those Cowboy fans that know nothing about the game and just like it because it's a pretty star and it looks pretty on a pink jersey. But with all that being said, you guys have a great day. Thank you for talking with me and Brian on NFL Week 4, is it?
Week 4.
Week 4. This is a name change pending.
Strong words from a strong man. Captain Insano.